Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us, and that God, that you would speak to us. Lord, we want to hear from you this morning. And may your truth just resonate within our hearts. Speak to us, we pray in your name. Amen. One weekend, there was a father, and he gave his teenage son permission to spend the weekend at a friend's house. It was during that weekend the father received a call from the friend's mother informing him that his son was not at her house. Her son had felt guilty about covering for his friend, and he confessed this to his mom. Well, the father told his wife about the son's deception. I could feel my wife's anger, and she said, I think you need to pray. So I said to her, I don't think I can pray for him right now. And she said, I didn't mean for you to pray for him. I think you need to pray for yourself. So I went to my bedroom, and I prayed for God's help. And it hit me that because of his love, God had already begun a work of rescue in my son's life. God was the one who pressed in on that consciousness of my son's friend, causing him to confess to his mom. God was the one who gave her the courage to make that difficult call to me. And God was the one giving me time to get a hold of myself before my son would come home. Now, rather than wanting to rip into my son, I wanted to be part of what God's grace was doing in this moment of rebellion, deception, hurt, and disappointment. After giving his son a couple of hours to relax upon his return, the father went to him and asked if they could talk. And then the father said, do you ever think about how much God loves you? The boy replied, sometimes. Do you ever think about how much God's grace operates in your life every day? His son looked up and didn't speak. Do you know how much God's grace was working in your life even this weekend? The son asked, who told you? The father said this, you've lived your life in light. You've made good choices. You've been an easy son to parent. But this weekend, you took a step toward the darkness. You can live in the darkness if you want. You can learn to lie and deceive. You can use your friends as your cover. You can step over God's boundaries. Or you can determine to live in God's light. I'm pleading with you, son, don't live in the darkness, live in the light. As I turned to walk away, I heard his voice from behind me saying, Dad, don't go. As I turned around with tears in his eyes, he said, Dad, I want to live in the light, but it's so hard. Will you help me? See, here's the thing, right? We all want to live in the light. But oftentimes we find ourselves living in a darkness. And what that darkness is this darkness is a place where I believe we often find ourselves. It calls to us, and it's hard to fight against the darkness and the lure that seems to have a hold on us. Darkness is often this place where we find ourselves with pain, hurt, secret sins, selfishness, hopelessness, and so many other things that steal life and joy from us. Yet this is a life that Jesus came to save us from. Probably the most popular verse in the world is found in John 3:16, where it says, For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then verse 17 goes on to say, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And in this moment, right, if we look at that passage of Scripture, we understand that what Jesus is doing is he's speaking to Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus to find answers as to who he was. Jesus knew what the plan was even at that moment. Jesus knew the purpose of his being here on earth. Jesus knew that the darkness was calling people to it. And this was part of what we celebrate last week with Palm Sunday, into today is Good Friday, and on Sunday with Easter, that Jesus would enter into the darkness only to rise up in the light. Well, this morning, where I want to go with my message here is not to the crucifixion, not to the resurrection, but what I want to talk to you about this morning is I want to talk to you about the tomb. What can the tomb represent for you and me? I'm going to confess to you here this morning, right now, inside. I may not look like it, but I am trembling. Okay? I'm not sure what the largest crowd of people I've ever spoken to, but this is probably up there one of them. And I've got a lot of theologians and that standing here behind me. And I'm a little bit nervous, but there's a lot of you I don't know in this room. But I can guarantee this, that there are some of you in this room that are here this morning hurting. You're walking into this room, putting a smile on your face, putting that guard up so nobody can see what's going on in your life. There are some of you here that are struggling in your marriages. There are some of you struggling here in your relationships. There are some of you struggling here with mental health. There are some of you that are struggling with grief, that life lost it recently. And I don't know what your history is. I don't know what your past is. And I understand that right now maybe you feel like you're living in a tomb. See, what is the tomb? It was a cold, dark place filled with death. It's where Jesus knew he had to go for our sake. It was a place where sin was placed and yet where sin was redeemed. So what does the tomb mean for you and me? Well, the first thing is this. The tomb is a place for you to bury the past. This is what Jesus did for us by going to the cross. He took our sins upon himself so that we might be redeemed. Isaiah 53 says to us, he was despised, rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and was held in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Apostle Paul says to us in Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He has redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You see, Jesus understood the spiritual warfare and how the battles that we fight are not against flesh and blood. That every day when we go out into the world, we're facing struggles of wanting to live our faith, and yet we're also being faced with the struggles of denying our faith, walking away from our faith, making decisions that are not of Jesus. And so what does that mean for us and how we can leave the past behind you? I don't know your past, but I'll tell you one thing. My past is not the prettiest. My past is not the best. There are things in my past that I wish I could forget. There are things in my past that I wish I didn't have to deal with, but I have to deal with them. I have to put them in the past, and I have to remember that Jesus Christ has redeemed me from my past. Amen?
Amen.
You see, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so what should our response be to this? How can we come to this point where we can put the past behind us and move to the future that God has for us? 1 Peter says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So basically, learn to humble yourself. Learn to lay yourself before Jesus, bare and whole as who you are. as a sinful creature, understand that he has saved you because of his sacrifice on the cross. Cast all your anxieties on him, not just the ones that you want to or the ones that you think he can handle. Cast them all on him because he can deal with them. Be alert. Understand that Satan wants to take you down, but if you resist him standing firm in Jesus Christ, you will be victorious. Because the second thing is this, the tomb is a place to be made new. I love how that one passage in John chapter 20 gives such a descriptive picture of what was found in the tomb that morning. It says, so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now get this, this is the important part. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, went straight into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, and the cloth was still lying in its place, separated from linen. Jesus wasn't there, but his clothes were. The past was left behind, and Christ was made new. 2 Corinthians tells us this, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, I'm not sure about this, okay? I mean, probably have to do a little bit more studying, but could this maybe be symbolic of us leaving the past behind so that we might be made new in Christ? As I said here a few moments ago, one of the hardest things it is for us to do is to leave the past behind. I mean, I don't know, but like I said, I just mentioned to you, I can remember the things in my life that I've done that I'm not proud of, that I'm ashamed of. There are things in my past that I'm not going to talk about here because I don't want you to know about them. And the past just has a way of hanging on. But you know what the issue is we want to hang on to, it's like we want to use that as that blankie, right? That is kind of there because it's comfortable, it's known, it may not feel good. I mean, my daughter's not here, but my daughter had a blankie as a little one. And how many of you parents had kids that had blankies that after a while, they were just plain gross? How, anybody else like that? I mean, and that's what our past is like for us. And we have to somehow leave the past in the tomb. There are a lot of you here that you keep going back to the tomb. You keep going back in to grab that blankie, to grab that hurt, to grab that pain, to grab those things that you know are not good for you because it's hard, it's difficult. You see, the tomb isn't just a place where we are made new, but the tomb needs to be a place where we can leave the past behind. What do you need to remove this morning? What do you need to leave in the tomb so that as you come forth out of that tomb, you are the person that Christ wants you to be? Because the last thing is this, the tomb is a place to meet Jesus. I mean, there's another part of this passage of Scripture we really can't overlook, right? Is how easy sometimes it is for us to miss Jesus in those moments when we are hurting, in those dark places that we find ourselves. Look at what John said there in chapter 20. It said, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped in and looked in, and then she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head, one sitting at the feet of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying, and they asked her, woman, why are you crying? And she said, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they've put him. At this, she turned around and saw, what does that say? Saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. The tomb can be a hard place for us to find ourselves in. And too often with that grief and that despair, that hurt, those struggles, those things that we are going through, Jesus is there, but we don't recognize that he is there. And he is there wanting to bring light into that dark place that we find ourselves in. And we see in that chapter, Jesus then said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." And it's too often when we're in this place, it's easy to miss Jesus talking to us. This is when we need to seek his presence and to open our spiritual ears to hear his voice. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. How often do we find it so easy to say that Jesus is there, but hard to find? How often do we say, "I know Jesus is there, but the way that we live really doesn't show Jesus being there"? You know, I prayed my prayer at the start of this message, right? And I prayed, "Lord, may you speak to our hearts. May you speak into our hearts and give us a word today." And I truly believe this morning that there's a word for some of you here. There's actually a word for every single one of us in this room, if we're to be honest. A lot of times, though, people just don't want to hear the word that God has for them. How are you doing on that one? But Jesus has a word for us, even when we might not realize it. If we open our spiritual eyes, open our spiritual ears, open our hearts, Jesus will speak into your life, and he will help you, and he will walk with you. He will guide you. He will help you to move from that tomb you find yourself into and help you to walk into a new life that he has designed for you. Jesus is always there for us, even when we may not recognize it. Jesus is here this morning to give us hope, to share with his light, and to provide life to all of us. Where are you at this morning? Are you hurting? It's okay. It's okay. Jesus is here for you today. That is part of what Good Friday is all about, right? Like, I mean, I've seen so many things this past week about Good Friday. Why is it called good? Why do we, you know, say Good Friday? Well, you know what? It's a good thing Jesus did go to the cross. It's a good thing that Jesus did go to the tomb, because without the cross and without the tomb, we can't have the resurrection. And that is where the life is found. So, here's what I would share with you this morning. The tomb is a place to bury your past. The tomb is a place to leave your past. But the tomb is a place to meet Jesus and begin a new pathway. May God bless each and every one of you this weekend. May you see Jesus. May you live for Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, I would encourage you to take that step and to ask him into your heart, to take that step, to make that decision, to follow after Jesus. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior when I was 18 years old. I grew up in the church. I could tell you all the Bible stories. I could tell you all the ways that you could become a Christian. But I just had never really taken that step for myself. And it was the best decision I've ever made. Has life been easy? No. There are some things I could tell you. But I'll tell you one thing. It's been the biggest blessing that I could ever imagine. Let's just bow our heads. Close your eyes. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that is seeking you, Lord, I just feel in my heart that we just need to pray this prayer. And if you want to know a Savior that loves you this morning, just pray these words. Dear Jesus, you know my life. You know my hurts. You know my pain. You know where I am with you. Forgive me, Jesus, for my sin. Lord, help me to come out of this tomb that I found myself in. Make me new, Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all unrighteousness. And it also says in 1 John that this is the confidence that we have, that whatever we ask in his name, he hears us and he will answer us. And if you've prayed that prayer this morning, Jesus heard that prayer. And he has answered that prayer, and you're a new creation.